This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
11:03 back on the Fan BT and Sal. Brandon's here. He's Sal Licata Show. 888-808-1019. Doing a pretty busy Monday sports jungle here. The Knicks. No heart. And this Mania injury. I'm just looking at this here. So, I mean, the Mets' plan, as you know, was to go to a six-man rotation. That was the initial plan. And, you know, I've been on the record. I like the Mets' lineup better than I like their staff. I don't love their staff. I really like the lineup. You know, I don't know that this necessitates in their mind like a further urgency to, you know, go make a move for Dylan Cease or something like that. But yeah, you got to be careful here because you look at what remains of the rotation. Well, just look at the rotation the way it was. Mania, Senga, Peterson, Holmes, and Frankie Montas, right? So Montas put an X through his name. He's out for a while. I know Holmes stretched out to, what, three innings? Was that three? Yeah, he did pretty well. And I like the signing. I think Holmes will be good for the Mets. But still, you know, an unknown based on innings, et cetera, transition to a new role. I'm a Peterson fan. I think he's got good stuff. I like Senga. Obviously, you want to see him stay healthy, but I do like him. And now Mania, you know, and we talk about the Mets here. It was always like, well, you got Mania. And that, like, that was the constant. And then everything else, there was an element of, well, can he do this? Or can he stay healthy? Or is he going to be able to do this? Like, you kind of started throwing some darts around and hoping it hit the right spot. Whereas Mania, we all sat here saying, and I'm a big believer in him. I think he's really good. And, you know, I know that starting pitching has changed. And me and Sal talk about this a lot. You know, the way the Mets are built versus the way the Yankees are built and some other teams and philosophies and, you know, paying big money to starters versus like the Yankees do. Versus going out and trying it and doing it the Mets way, which was certainly successful a year ago. And we'll see what year two yields with Stearns and that laboratory, so to speak. But, you know, the division's going to be such where I think right now, I think, and I've said this too, I think the Braves are the best team in the East. I've had the Mets at two, and I've had the Phillies at three. I personally think that the Mets are, if I had to move their position, I think the Mets are a little closer to Philly than they are to the Braves, meaning I think they're a little closer to three than to one. Not by much. I think the Mets are a playoff team. But then you have the Dodgers, you have the Padres, you have a couple other good teams, right? I think the Cubbies will be better this year. I guess what I'm saying is, how long do you mess around without bringing in some sort of reinforcement? And I don't just mean an arm. I mean a guy who's good, you know? Because you heard Mendoza there in Jerry's update. Again, I don't think it's the worst news in the world, but it's certainly a bit dispiriting. It was so good for you a year ago. And the way these things go, shut down a couple of weeks, and then because he's a pitcher and because of the oblique and the unpredictable nature of it, well, I mean, anything that he's done so far in camp to build his arm strength up, he's going to go back to zero. He's going to have to reset. You can't throw. Can't throw at all. You know, you could probably do some cardio. You could definitely do some cardio. Controlled cardio, like on a bike. I don't even know if you're going to want to run poles because you're pumping your arms. And the thing about the oblique here, and by the way, the oblique has wrecked many seasons. So I don't want to go nuts on this, and I also don't want to just brush it under the rug. So I'm kind of, somewhere in between. But like worst case scenario, the worst case scenario, I mean, this could rob him of months, plural. So I hope that's not the case. Internally, I would think that this would ratchet up some urgency for the Mets front office to go and do something. We'll see. All right, 11:07 here. It's BT and Sal. 888-881-9. All the Fan. Sal is out. He is in Disney. It's a small world. Let me get Rob and Tom's River. What's happening, Robbie?
BT, what's up, brother?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good, man. I completely agree with everything you just said. I mean, I don't think this is like a derailment, but now, you know, two of your top guys that you brought in the offseason are out. How do you not rebound with at least something small? Bringing Quintana back, Anthony DeSclafani's out there. Kyle Gibson had a 4 WAR last year. I think he's still out there. These are viable major league options that do more than help you just tread water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Let me ask you this here, Rob. I have my number, or my grade. I'll give you a chance to give me yours first. So before the Montas injury, I don't know where you stood on the pickup event. Probably not over the moon, but whatever. Let's assume he's healthy. Let's assume Anaya is healthy. What do you grade the Mets rotation? What would you give it? Fully healthy?
B-.
Okay.
Full B-.
That's fair. I think that's a pretty good read. Now let's throw in the Montas injury. Let's throw in the Manaya injury and the uncertainty there. Does it go down to a C-minus or a C? Where it's
absolutely accurate.
Okay.
Completely accurate.
All right. Well, if that's the case, then and I tend to agree. And if that's the case, Rob, then yeah, you got to get on the phone. You got to bring somebody who's good. You got to do something. You know, like if the Mets were in the Central, either the American League Central or the NL Central, maybe they could mess around and, you know, have the boat take some water and then, you know, eventually get some buckets and get rid of it before it sinks. I don't think you've got that luxury in the NL East. You don't. Braves are good. Phillies are good. So I think they got to make a move. Now, I'm not saying you just give up, you know, three top prospects, you go bonkers and you just do Dylan Cease today, but you got to have the conversation. Let me get Freddie in Asbury Park. What's up, Fred? Hello, Fred.
Hey, BT.
What up?
Hello, BT.
Hey,
good.
Fred,
I haven't talked to you in a long time, Bill.
All right. What's
it's always
you
good
well.
To hear you. You too. Likewise. Always good to hear you. I'm not so sure about your partner, but that's another
story. Whoa. That's my guy. Easy. Come on. Can't be dropping that. Let's go. He's nuts, but I love him. Go ahead.
All right. Just tell me. I got two words of advice for him. Calm down. Anyway, listen, the experiment in left field with the Martian, it's not going to work. They got to stop it right now. Sorry.
Okay.
He's not going to make it.
Well, okay, Fred, hold on a second. Fred, hold on. So, okay.
You're going to let me talk, though, right?
Well, yeah. We're going to have a conversation, dude. Take it easy. We're good.
Right.
I would say if you want to pull the plug, which I think is insane, what's your plan?
Center field.
Okay.
Or he's been since he's 19.
And you're going to put, what, Bellinger in left field where he doesn't play?
Absolutely. Bellinger's a natural outfielder. You know, BT, you've played ball. There are certain kids that are natural outfielders, and I don't care where you put them. Put them in the bullpen, they're going to catch what's coming off that bat. But DeMarcin is not an absolute outfielding kid. He doesn't have those instincts. He doesn't know when the ball comes off the bat which way it's going.
Yeah, it's a different read. I'm going to give you that. But Freddie, do you – and I know that you saw the pop-up that he lost in the Sun, and we know the couple examples a year ago. Answer me honestly here. If he doesn't lose that ball in the Sun over the weekend, are you calling me saying this?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm talking about the way he just feels the ground ball in the outfield. Listen, he seems like he has a good bat.
Yep.
But he's one of these kids that you put in left field. He's one of these kids that you put in the outfield because you don't know where the hell else to put him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but that's his position, Fred. You're not going to mess around, put him at first base. All right. So thanks for the call. I mean, listen, he could be a huge problem out there. He could be. Left field at Yankee Stadium is tough. It's vast. There's the Sun. Like it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with here. I've always of the mindset, if you can handle center field, you can handle anything. If you can handle shortstop in the middle, in the infield, you can go anywhere. You can go to third like A-Rod. You go to second like others. You can go anywhere. If you're big enough, you can go to first base. And you can probably do an adequate job behind the plate. Maybe not in the majors, but you know, maybe in the minors or in college. Like if you're a shortstop, you could play. And if you're a center fielder, you same skill set out there. The only thing, now I don't feel quite what you feel. because I think great athletes eventually adapt. And I do think Dominguez is a great athlete. I'm not saying he's a great player. Not yet. Who knows? He is a great athlete. He flies. His strength-speed ratio is elite. I mean, he's built like a Mack truck, and he runs like the wind, and he's got a good arm. And he's a switch hitter with pop. I mean, he's got the tools here. Are you telling me that he really can't figure out left field? Really? Now, I don't think he's going to be like Verdugo, who was pretty good out there with the glove, couldn't hit for us, but I think if you call me up and rather than say, I don't think he can handle left, but instead you decide to frame your reasoning to put him in center now would be, why complicate his world unnecessarily? He's going to have to learn how to hit at this level. He's going to have to learn probably to be the leadoff hitter at this level, which he's never done at this level. And you want him to figure out a foreign position, fairly foreign? That's a lot. I think that's the better route to go. But I'm not doing it yet. I've got a little more faith in Dominguez. I think it's something you could probably mess around with and do midseason if it got really bad. Like, if he's hitting and he's a butcher in left, well, then you make the swap. If he's not hitting and he's a butcher in left, now you got a next level problem because your uber prospect at that point, now the whispers get even louder. Like who is he? Let me get Mr. G in Yonkers. It's not Thunder. Mr. G? Not the weather guy.
Hey, BT, how you doing today?
What's up, Mr. G?
How's it going?
All right.
So as far as the Knicks are concerned, I've been a Knicks fan since 1966.
Okay.
I've seen a lot. I suffered for the last 20 years. I'm glad that the Knicks are competitive again.
Mm-hmm.
I never expected them to play for a championship this year. That's unrealistic. They brought in new guys. They lost guys. Messed up the chemistry with Hardenstein. You know, all that stuff. They need a rim protector. They need a guy who can hit the three coming off the bench to help them offensively. They're not at the level of Boston and Cleveland this year. They're just not there.
I know.
So am I surprised by what's happening? Absolutely not. I'm more surprised about how backward the Rangers have gone, but that's a talk for another day.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the Mets are concerned, never been a Met fan, never will be, but they're top five in the National League. They're top eight in all of baseball right now. Enjoy the journey like we're doing with the Knicks. They're getting there. They're going to compete. I'm a Dodger fan. Am I excited? Yes. But unless they win, I'm not excited. You go to so many World Series and you only win one or two.
Yeah.
You know, what can you say?
Yeah.
But the Mets are going to be tough. I wouldn't want to play the Mets in the playoffs. I'm a Dodger fan. I don't want to see them in the playoffs. They're a tough, tough team.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Mets have a chance to be good.
The Knicks are 1 or 2 years away, BT.
Yeah.
1 or 2 years away.
Listen, we know what they're waiting for. We're waiting for those development of the young flame-throwing arms, the Sprouts and some others. And once that happens, that's, you know, now the Mets should be ready to roll because the position players are good. They're going to hit the ball. Yeah, he said something that's pretty interesting there. And I think, and I don't know how many would agree with this. It's just an observation. And I've said this before, and it's so counterintuitive. It really is. If you think about, all right, what's the essence of being a sports fan? Everything you do, every jersey you buy, every article you read, every X post you click on, the video to watch so-and-so talking about your team, all the games you go to, all the days you cross off the calendar leading up to the start of whatever season it might be. The mission is a championship. But he said something that's interesting. Like, once you get the championship, things change. And to me, this is just me, I've always enjoyed the journey more than the championship, you know? I do think there's a few examples here. Like, I think if you were to say, this is a million years ago, I don't want to just go back of the day, but it's the last time the Mets won a World Series, so I have to. But, like, when the Mets won in 86, I don't think now the older Met fan's going to sit there and say, yeah, I loved 84 and 85 when we were knocking on the door and, you know, it's coming up a few games short of the Cardinals, you know. That was more fun than 86. That's ridiculous. And the same with me. From a Yankee perspective, like when Buck finally transformed that group of misfits. I mean, God, what a disheveled group that was. Goodness, Chris Stumps, they were just awful. And then they started playing more buttoned up. And then you slowly start planting the seeds. And then 95 wild card was a blast, even though it ended with my guy Donnie, Crusher, and the 96 championship. Like, that's always fun. But specific to these Knicks, to bring it back to the current day, which is what it's about, and it's still in the ascending period, so I know what you mean. But if you come to the determination, and I've come to that, unfortunately, that this team will not win, that takes away the enjoyment of the ascent, of that little slow incremental rise, you know? Like, I don't think that they could win. I just don't. Yeah, and last caller also said, yeah, it's unrealistic to expect the Knicks to win this week. Why? I got to push back on that. Why? I mean, they would have won last year. They would have been in the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago if OG doesn't get hurt. They're winning that, and then they would have probably gotten mopped in the championships in the Conference Finals, but they would have been in the ECF. And take the core of that team, and, you know, obviously you lose who they lost in Ortenstein and DiVincenzo, but you add a 25-10 guy, and then you add a 3-D, you know, above average 3-point shooter, elite wing defender, I guess he was, in Bridges. Yeah, I'm not supposed to expect that this team could win a championship. Yeah, that's the expectation. Damn straight. It's not like Karl Anthony Towns is 24. Karl Anthony Towns will likely never be better than what he's going to be either this year or next year. Just look at his body. Look at the way he moves. Look at his age. Look at the miles on his odometer. He's not going to get better. So, it's frustrating. It really is. Sammy's in Marine Park. Sam, what's cooking?
Hey, BT, what's going on, my man?
Hey, Sammy, how you doing?
I got a quick thing about the Knicks, okay?
Yeah.
How soft are you? You've been talking about this team since the beginning of the season. Obviously, we didn't talk about it much because we were more focused on the Jets and the Giants. This team is a complete joke. They have so much talent, they play zero defense. I don't care if Cat scores 40 points a game. You're giving up 135 points a game. You beat the Bulls by 2 points in overtime. Forget OKC. OKC, that's a pipe dream. You never get into the finals with this team. And what are they hanging their hat on? Mitchell Robinson? He's going to come back. You'll play 5 games. You'll get hurt again. And then where do we go from there? Bridges stands in the corner, shoots his threes, spins around with 3 fingers. He's pointing at the other team's bench. Wing player. He's not playing any defense. Yeah. How are you dead last guarding against the three?
Well,
today's NBA, last year's team.
Sammy, hold on 1 sec. Sammy, let me ask you this, man. You obviously emotionally invested. You watch the Knicks, it's obvious. So if Tom Thibodeau, who's a defensive coach, has an awful defensive team, what are we doing?
Exactly. And I don't know if the message is falling on deaf ears. I don't know how it changed that much from last year. Last year's team was great. It represented grit. A New Yorker. I'm 45 years old, so I don't remember any championship, but I remember the Ewing days with McDaniel and Oakley and those teams, and they had heart. Yeah. Last year's team had heart.
Yes.
This year's team, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know, Thibodeau, I'm sure he didn't lose the team, but the message needs to change. Because they're going to go out in the second round.
Sammy, I got news for you.
They're going to go out in the second round.
Sammy, I got news for you. If they're not careful, they get bounced in round one. I mean, that's the one thing that I'm starting. Like, I laugh like, the Knicks are going to get bounced in round two. Are we sure about that? Are we sure they're getting past round one? I mean, I would bet on them, not a lot of money, but I would bet on them to advance past round one. But now it's not about beating. It's less about beating the Thunder and the Celtics and the Cavs of the world, and more about, we sure they're getting to round two? We positive? Look at it this way, and this is what bothered me the most. I'm going to get St. John's coming up next. We'll get them in there. The Manaea injury, roll with the Knicks all day as well. BT and Sal on the Fan. Like, to lose the way they lost Friday night, I'm going to take the Giants. I'm going to do a very quick football equivalent. They lose 142-105. Let's say the Giants next year, week five, I'm just throwing out some arbitrary week, they lose, I don't know, what's the football equivalent to that score? 41-10, right? They get pasted. And not only do they get pasted, but they have 16 penalties and 9 missed tackles. So the press conference is about a lack of effort, a lack of focus. And then the next week, the Giants come out in week 6 and they're losing 21-0 after the first quarter. That's what the Knicks did this weekend. And that's what bothers me the most. That's what tells me. Like, sometimes you've got to really read deep to see, I mean, am I off base on this? Are my instincts maybe deceiving me? No, because they told us the story. They told us, at least now, who they are. They told us without saying a word. They showed us. 888-808-1019. Johnny's fans, work you into the mix next. BT and Sal on the Fan. You guys see the weather in the next couple days? Start to warm up a little bit. 55 on Tuesday. A little 54 action on Wednesday. 55 on Thursday. Recco was saying he played golf yesterday before he did the Rutgers game at night. Yeah, that means baseball really soon. That means a whole lot of things, including March Madness. And for the first time in a while, St. John's will be involved. And for the first time in a long while, they're going to be very involved. I'll tell you, it is amazing to watch Rick Pitino work this magic. Now, I don't think they'll crack the top 5 that's coming out at 1. I think they're going to be 6 or 7. It would be sick if they are 5, but it's almost immaterial right now because, you know, the ranking, yeah, it does create a bit of a status and certainly more buzz, but, you know, I'm not too wrapped up in that. I'm wrapped up in the job that this man is doing. And, you know, I've said for a lot of times, even before he was coaching St. John's, I think Rick is the greatest college basketball coach of all time. I really do. And, you know, not to necessarily turn that into that kind of a debate or a conversation, but, you know, the thing that Rick has done that so many of the older coaches either refused to do or were unable to do, he's adapted. Oh, kids transferring left and right? All right, I'll find a way to make it work. Oh, NIL money, we can make that happen? Yep, okay, here we go. Now I have a general manager, which they do, Matt, who's terrific. And they've got some more money, Mike Rapoli and others. Like, now St. John's is humming. And I was thinking about this. Like, I remember at his press conference where he said, oh, we're going to be back. I guarantee it. St. John's is going to be back. And, like, the confidence in which he said it, even me, who has always looked at him as an all-time icon in the coaching world, maybe because I've been around St. John's so long, I'm sitting there saying to myself, all right, man, I want to believe you, and I kind of believe you, but I've been at St. John's a lot longer than you. I don't know if you know what you're walking into. Like, not that they're not good people. They're amazing people. They just, the previous people had no idea how to run a basketball program. Zero. So, you know, think about what Rick had to do. He had to first get a roster. So he's adapted with that. Get some players, coach them up, work them hard. All right, that's what Rick does best. And that's what Rick's done everywhere. BU, Providence, Louisville, Kentucky before that, Greece, Iona, you name it. That's what he does. But I don't think people really think about this because why would you? I think you're more concerned with the basketball. Rick Pitino is, in essence, pulling an entire university out of the Stone Age. Now, he's got some help. They finally hired a president who cares about basketball. And without that, you're cooked. You're cooked. Father Shanley, Providence, knows how important basketball is to, especially a Catholic school without a football budget. Check. They got the president. Then they got Rick. And then, obviously, you want to have an AD who is in alignment with that. And Eddie Cull, I think, is phenomenal. I've known Eddie for 20 years when he was just starting out at St. John's. I followed him at Fordham, and I'm a huge fan as a person. I think he's great. Raises money. But, and Rick has said this off the record and on the record, but maybe a little more off the record. I don't want to divulge too much here, but, like, he's basically saying, I got to get buildings built before I'm done. Like, he is pulling them from the 80s. Into the mid-2020s. He's grabbing them, you know, by the blazer. Guys, let's go. We got to do this. We got to have that. Like, when I tell you, the and I know that you've heard this, oh, the facilities are antiquated, but like when you actually step in foot, when you walk inside Cardasec Arena, you may as well have like a Sony Discman or over, you know, forget about a cassette, actually. Like you're walking back to 1985. I could bust out Run DMC. I could bust out Motley Crue. I think it's the 80s. And like in a month, he's like, all right, we need this, we need that, we need this, we need that. And literally, it was built. Now, it's not built the way it's going to be built with the new structure that's going up in 2027. I just say all this. I know more of you are consumed with the basketball, and you should be. But to understand what Rick Pitino has done, he is one of a kind. His energy is relentless. His focus is Jedi-like. And his basketball acumen is without peer. Don't tell me about, I'm not trying to disparage anybody, but you know, so I don't even want to say it like that. Don't tell me about John Wooden. That's unnecessarily aggressive. John Wooden's one of a kind. But understand, like, you know, if, and I respect your opinion, but when I say Rick's the greatest college basketball coach of all time, I mean that. And many of you would say, well, what about Dean Smith? And what about, you know, John Wooden? What about the Coach K? I got it. There's other, Roy Williams. Yeah, I know. But take John Wooden, who, by most accounts, Wooden and Coach K are thought to be the two best coaches in the history of the game. John Wooden coached, I think he was at Indiana State for a couple years, but he coached at one place. I mean, the league was so different. And by the way, John Wooden had a money man. Don't get this thing twisted. Think that, oh, UCLA did it on the up and up. John Wooden had a money man to get studs to UCLA. You know, and he did it at one school. To me, the beauty, the magic, the power of Rick is whatever he has is transferable. It is incredible watching this guy operate. You know, I remember asking him up at Providence in late December, you know, do you think you could still coach in the NBA? He's like, there's no way. He's like, I couldn't do it from an energy perspective. You watch Rick coach. I mean, this guy on defense is just, he's like a lunatic in a good way. Calling out screens, just screaming, you know, anticipating things. You can't do that 82 games in the NBA. The defense on this team is by far, it's not even close, the best in the history of St. John's. And I love Louis, and we revere Louis, and Louis's team locked down. Not like this. Nobody does. Maybe Houston, the Cougars. That is about it. And I you know, I really never thought, and it would sadden me, and I would never talk about St. John's on the air because I got to get ratings. My livelihood depends on what kind of numbers we get and what kind of revenue we produce. So why would I get on the air and talk about something that I care about and that I love, but that when nobody's going to because I've done a million games at the Garden when there's 7,000 people there, or when they would get 15,000, six were UConn fans, or 7,000 were Orange Syracuse fans. Like, the Saint, and it really, you have to really know me as a person to know how, to understand the depth of the statement. But not much hurts me pertaining to sports, because as a dad and as a husband, you realize what's so much more is important. The death of the St. John's brand hurt me more than anything connected to sports. It actually hurt my heart, because I really think without St. John's being who they were in the 80s, I don't know if I'm doing what I'm doing now. That's how much they inspired me. That's how much they own the city. Like, they, and Rick said the other night, they are the 11th pro team in the NBA, in New York City, and they are. And, you know, St. John's, even when they're down, like, you know, Coach Mullen, Rick, Chris had a couple of big wins, but they never really got it going. Even when they were down, you know, same with Norm back in the day, or Lavin, any coach, Mike Anderson, you know, they knock off a top 10 team, back page of the Post. Johnny's getting love. But this is different. This is like, that place sounds and looks and feels different than it has ever felt in my life. Because my dad didn't take me to the game. We watched him on TV in the 80s with Chris. We watched him on TV on CBS, right? It is amazing to see. I don't think there's a ceiling. And oh yeah, by the way, guess who's starting to learn to shoot the ball a little bit better? St. John's, you know? So just enjoy the ride. And understand that it's not 1 year. Now, Rick's coming back next year. He's not going to Indiana. He's not taking over at North Carolina. This is it for Rick. Rick is home, and Rick is staying. And Rick is building this thing out so that it's not just two, three, four magical years of Rick Pitino, and then it's dead for another 30, and we'll never recover. Rick Pitino, when I say he's building buildings, this man is building buildings. It is awesome. It really is. Let me get Matt in New City, BT and Sal. Matt, what's happening?
What's going on, BT? So I'm, funny story, I'm not going to bore you, but I went to St. John's and they didn't have any dorms available for me. I went late and I wound up getting a house with the St. John's basketball team just randomly.
What year are you talking, Matty? What year are you talking about?
2010.
Okay. Yeah, DJ Kennedy,
that
those
was,
guys?
That was,
no?
Lavin's first year there.
Gotcha. Yeah, I gotcha. Yep. Yep.
I mean, Malik Booth and Deli Coker, I lived with.
Big
Dan
Coker. Yeah, I remember. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. He was my roommate. So anyway, you like you were saying, the facilities, if people don't believe you, when I first went there, I was shocked at the facilities because it almost looked like a high school gym.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very antiquated.
Mm-hmm.
And yep, my point, too, with St. John's, because you never get to call the radio and talk St. John's basketball. But
now you're going to start. Yep.
It's very hard to watch them and then watch the Knicks. I think that St. John's success and the way they play defense is turning me off to watching Knick games because it's such a different game almost when you watch the two different products.
It's an interesting point. That really is interesting, Matt. I don't know if that's impacted me. Thanks for the call. Now, I've been down on the NBA for a while, and I've just plotted through a lot of things, you know, stylistically that are unappealing to me. But I love the Knicks. And the Knicks ran counter to what the rest of the NBA was turning into. Yeah, defensive indifference, all the stuff we talk about. And last year's Knicks, that wasn't them. So it was easy to watch the Knicks a year ago. And trust me, I mean, I even watched them when they were, I never stopped. I watched them when they had Van Horn. Like, I never stopped. But this year, it feels different, and it looks different. Yeah, that's interesting. But, you know, not just that St. John's is really good, but the way they're playing. Yeah, I could see that. If you're a basketball fan, you're a Knicks guy and a St. John's guy, and there's a lot of you. You know, the way St. John's is playing, and then you watch the Knicks, you're like, oof, it's just not the same. I could see that. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal here on the Fan. Back to the calls in a minute. BT and Sal back on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. Sal is off all week. Now, finally, the eye surgery will be behind him. He is back from Disney Tuesday. Was he having the surgery Wednesday, right, Hop? Is that true? Wednesday?
Yeah, Wednesday.
All right, so he'll recover, and then he'll be good to go. And before you know it, I mean, like, honestly, talk about St. John's, talk about Selection Sunday, which is March 16th. I mean, baseball is rapidly approaching. It's, usually the winter goes really slow. I guess everything speeds up as you get older, but I think this winter's been flying by. Either way, you got a lot of good stuff to look forward to. 888-808-1019 here on the Fan. We get Maddie in Hillsboro. Back to the calls. Little Johnny's Knicks. Sean Mania is banged up. What's happening, Matt?
What's up, BT?
Hey, Matt. How
you
doing?
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Good, good. I probably saw you on TV. If last year you had your red Johnny sweatshirt on, you were right behind the bench, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was when I took the Jen of the kids. Yeah, yeah, that was the last Creighton game. Yep.
All right, you only get to see one in your lifetime, a Knicks championship or a St. John's.
Who am I picking? That's not even – it's St. John's 100%. 100%.
That's what I figured. But what if I threw in St. John's or the Jets?
St. John's.
Okay.
I know that's nuts, right? You know what's happened? And I know that, Matt, listen, it's a personal question. Now, my answer is based on personal dynamics that I'm smart enough to know that nobody cares about. Trust me. And I don't want to make this about me. You just asked me the question, so I'm going to answer it. What's happened this year? And even, like the last couple of years, certainly, you know, my son loves basketball. And so is my daughter. She's grown into it as well. And they're young, and like they like the ride, and even my wife, who was from Texas, like she's like St. John's stinks. She said when we first met, St. John's. I'm like, easy, take it easy. Let's not disparage Johnny's too much, otherwise we might have to rethink this commitment. But she's a couple of years younger, and you know the '80s St. John's and Mullen means nothing to her. So I understand. I understood what you meant. But it's like become a real family thing. And that's, it's not the same with the other sports. She's a Cowboys fan. No, we're all Yankee fans. But yeah, and then I'd be doing the games. I mean, you know, the Jets win the Super Bowl. I'm never going to be calling a Super Bowl. I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe I get back in that Yankee booth, Huff. I'm not going to say no to the World Series. Keep that door slightly open, but the probability, probably less than 1%, if not zero. But yeah, I mean, Johnny's keep playing. I keep doing the games we'll make. And if, you know what's cool, too? It's fun for me, and I know you guys love Mink. It's been fun for me to see Mink so energized. You know, Mink is very emotionless. You know Mink, you know, Dove, you know Mink. We always get around, he can't ad lib if his life depended on it. Everybody says that. It's true. But, you know, he is a buttoned up broadcaster and a good one. But I've really enjoyed seeing him, I won't say loosen up because he's not tight to work with. He's easy. He's actually one of the easiest people I've ever worked with in my life. But he's just, he's leaning into the enthusiasm and the nuttiness and the possibilities, maybe a better way to put it, of what St. John's could do. Let me get Alex and East Quag, BT and Sal. I know he's not happy with his Knicks. He's probably going to bang on Tom Thibodeau. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I'll get to that, but let me make one other point beforehand. Good afternoon, bro.
What's up?
Who was the hands down executive of the year in the NBA?
What, talking about last year or this year?
This year.
It might be the Cavaliers.
No.
Who?
It's Sean Marks.
Okay, I mean, you got to win before we bestow the honors on you, but okay.
I give it to them whether they win or not. Get five first-round picks from McKinney Bridges, and I wouldn't call it a front runner. I'm not a back runner. I didn't like the Bridges trade from the beginning. Five. You said earlier today, let's not dump on it because all his games haven't been terrible. Have you ever heard anybody describe somebody who was traded for five first-round picks in that?
No, that's true. Okay. No, but Alex, hold on. Al, one thing. I'll let you make your other points. The one thing, though, I just say that to balance out some of the Bridges criticism. I do think it's been a bit over the top and a little unfair over the course of the season. I think people piled out at times. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, maybe it's unfair to him, but it's because he was put in this situation.
Yeah.
But it's not unfair to criticize the trade. He has to take some of that criticism because the trade is insane and it's gonna hurt the team for years down the road. Now, let me get to my man here. Let me get to my main man. And again, you know, I've been saying this even in the best of times over the last couple of years. I've never been a Tibbs fan.
You were calling me and Tiki complaining about Tom Thibodeau. Go ahead.
What can I add? And again, all the guys that were calling up earlier today and saying Kenny Atkinson, this, I agree. I mean, you know, you couldn't know that he would have this level of success, but I thought he was a good, fresh young guy that handled the situation great. I love Johnny Bryant. You know that. I'm glad to see they let him go. But here's one last thing I'll say about Tibbs. How the hell do you allow Towns to come back in down 18 with 3 minutes to go, limping around the court after he had to go have his knee checked out?
I have no idea. That is honestly, this is gonna sound worse than I mean, but that is a fireable offense.
I agree. Take it easy.
I'll see you, buddy. And I wouldn't fire him. Now, after the year, we're going to probably have some discussions here. But that was so cavalier and so unnecessary. I don't know how else to frame it, you know? How about Mark in Brooklyn, BT and Sound on the Fan? Mark, what's going on, bud?
BT, my guy, how you doing?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
BT, I find it interesting. I'm thinking about my Knicks. I'm not a Mets fan. I'm a Yankees fan. But I'm thinking about my Knicks and the Mets. And I'm seeing parallels, I think, between the two. From the standpoint, I think you have two teams kind of in year one of their eventual windows. Obviously, Knicks had, you know, before the trade, we had some success. But really, year one of their windows. And I ultimately don't think either are contenders. I know the Mets still have a lot to see about that. But you're laying the foundation. You're laying the foundation of the standard. And like, I'm a big Knicks guy, season ticket holder. Okay. I appreciate that in year one of this, we're the three seed B team. We're probably locked into the three seed and we're already getting antsy. We're already starting to ask for the firing of the coach. I almost like that because it's increased the standard. Like 2 years ago, we win a first round series and it's like we've won the finals. It can't be that way in MSG.
I agree.
So I like that. We're laying the foundation. One last point. What you don't want to do And I think this is important with the Bridges contract coming up. You don't want to lose your flexibility. If the Knicks' ceiling with this team is a 3 seed, then I don't think you want to lose your flexibility. Maybe you do make an OG trade. I've heard that might have been floated. Maybe you don't re-sign Bridges and you just eat that trade, which is what it is. Maybe you fire Thibodeau, but don't lose your flexibility.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be tough to sell. I think everything else you said makes some sense. I think you're more optimistic than me, which is fine. I respect that. My reason for, I think, my lack of belief in this team is that I don't know what's going to get better enough to elevate them to a championship team. You know, growing pains are one thing. Like, you know, over the years, you have teams, and there's something to be said for, you know, those battles where you get some scars and you learn how to go through it together, and there's some character. And you come back, you're better for it. You're more fortified. You're more one. But, you know, again, I don't think the window for the Knicks is as pronounced as some of you, not all of you. I think more of you are with me than maybe the last caller there. I think most of you are down on this team, and rightfully so. I think the only real optimism at this point is of the blind variety. Like, it's early. You know, they'll figure out they still got a couple of years to go. It's less tangible, and that's a problem to me. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan, juggling the Knicks, juggling the Johnnies. We're also Sean Manaea's injury. He actually spoke. I want to play that for you coming up next hour as well. Hit you with the King topic of the day. And Dominguez, how long are we going to roll him out in left field? BT and Sal on the Fan.